Merry Christmas, everybody. Glad to have you with us as we celebrate the birth of Christ, and you who are watching online as well. Welcome to one of our several services here at Cornerstone this Christmas season, celebrating Jesus. So glad to have you with us. I'm going to share from Matthew chapter 1 and Luke 2, the Christmas story tonight. This is what it says. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I've entitled the message today, A Season of Hope. A Season of Hope. Let's pray first. Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to gather here in your house and watching online to celebrate your entrance into our world, the birth of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray that for those of us who already know you, this will be a great time of celebration. And for those who don't know you in a personal way, that this will be a time for them to come into the knowledge of who you are and to come into a relationship with you tonight. And we just commit this to you now, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified in all that is said and sung. We just honor you this Christmas. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, I heard the story about a mom and dad who gave their kids a kitten just a few days before Christmas, a little early Christmas gift. And the kids were out in the yard playing with the little kitty cat, and the thing scurried up a tree all of a sudden and then got stuck between some sharp branches, and there were so many branches they couldn't climb up to rescue the little kitty cat. So dad said, "Don't fear, kids, I have a solution." Dad was a pastor and he came up with some good ideas every once in a while. So he said, "Kids, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to take a rope, lasso the tree, and then take the other end of the rope, tie it to my bumper of my car. And I'm going to drive slowly. And as I drive slowly, the tree will bend down and we'll be able to rescue the kitty cat." The kids are like, "Daddy, to the rescue." And so that's what he did. He lassoed the tree, tied the other end to the bumper of his car, and started driving slowly. As he started driving slowly, the tree started bending slowly. As he drove slowly, the tree started bending slowly. And slowly he went, and slowly the tree bent down, until all of a sudden, the rope broke. That's what we call a catapult. That's right. And that's the end of the story. So anyway, a few weeks later, the pastor, the dad, was visiting a family in his church. Knocked on the door, they answered the door, he walks in, and he sees his kitty cat. It was undeniable, the markings, he knew it was his. But he didn't want to just say to them, "Hey, that's my cat." So he said, "Why, what a lovely cat you have there. How long have you had him?" The mom said, "Pastor, you're never going to believe this. But a few days before Christmas, I was out in my yard with my son, Johnny, and Johnny kept saying to me, 'Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, I want a kitty cat for Christmas. I want a kitty cat for Christmas.' I kept saying, 'No, Johnny, no.' But Pastor, he kept pestering me, 'Please, Mommy, a kitty cat, a kitty cat.'" But see, they were Christians, so they knew they couldn't have one. And so
And so the pastor said, what happened? And she said, Pastor, I said to him after so much pestering, all right, Johnny, all right, you want a kitty cat? Why don't we get right down our knees in the lawn right here, and we're going to pray to Jesus. And if Jesus wants you to have a kitty cat, Pastor, it was a Christmas miracle.
Well, I don't know how much a cat coming out of the sky is a Christmas miracle. But here's the real Christmas miracle, and here's why we're gathered here tonight in many churches, many Christians around the world, celebrating the birth of Jesus. When God entered our world to take on our sin, to die on a cross that we might have forgiveness and have life in his name. This is what Christmas is all about. That Jesus came, born of a virgin, a little baby laid in a manger, to grow up, to die on a cross, to rescue us from our sins. That is the Christmas miracle. Amen. There's a familiar Christmas carol that we often sing. In fact, we sang it a moment ago here during our worship time. It's O Holy Night. O Holy Night was the collaborative effort of two Frenchmen. One was Placide Capeau, who wrote the lyrics, and another guy by the name of Adolphe Adam, who composed the music in 1847. It was later translated from French to English, O Holy Night, in 1855 by John Sullivan Dwight. And the first stanza of O Holy Night, familiar to most of you, I'm sure, goes like this. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. In other words, the world was pining, suffering, or languishing in sin and error against God. Listen, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. When Jesus appeared, then he gave worth and value to the human soul because we can find forgiveness through faith in him. Amen. And then it continues, the last part of that first stanza says, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. And I think to myself when I hear the lyrics of that song, if ever there was a time when a weary world needed something to rejoice about, it's now. I mean, 2020 has been a very challenging year for many people in many respects, especially with this pandemic that has just really turned life upside down. I just lost a friend last week who died of COVID. It's been very, very challenging. And it's been a very distressing time for a lot of people. The statistics show that people are more distressed and anxious and fearful and worried than ever before. The CDC put out a report in the middle of the summer, in the middle of this pandemic, and it said this, quote, U.S. adults reported considerably elevated adverse mental health conditions associated with COVID-19. Younger adults, racial ethnic minorities, essential workers, and unpaid adult caregivers reported having experienced disproportionately worse mental health outcomes, increased substance use, and elevated suicidal ideation, end quote. Suicidal thoughts. 40% of Americans have struggled with mental health or substance abuse since the pandemic. And according to the CDC report, the group hardest hit, young adults between the ages of 18 and 24. Young adults between the ages of 18 and 24, 3 out of 4, 75% in that age bracket are struggling with substance abuse and or at least one mental health issue such as anxiety, depression, trauma, or stress disorders. You see, so much emphasis has been placed on the physical impact and the financial impact that a lot of times the mental, emotional, and spiritual anxiety that people are feeling often goes unnoticed or unmentioned. But those things are what causes hopelessness, and hopelessness can be even more debilitating than even getting the virus physically itself. In a recent Gallup poll that was taken just last month, of 1,000 Americans over the age of 18, people reported that their physical well-being was actually much better than their mental well-being. And check this out, according to the same Gallup poll, the one group, the one demographic that's doing better this year than last year, listen to this, only those who attended religious services weekly rated their mental health better in 2020 than in 2019. Those who attended religious services weekly reported better mental health this year than last year. Why is that? Because there's something about coming into God's house that infuses God's people with God's hope. It's true. Because God is the source of true hope. And he gave hope a name, and hope's name is Jesus, when he gave his only son 2,000 years ago on the first Christmas to enter the world into an obscure little town called Bethlehem, that the whole world might find the meaning of true hope through a relationship with Jesus. You see, the world's idea of hope, there's two facets to hope in the world, and this is the best that it gets as far as the world is concerned. The first type of hope that the world exercises is what we would call wishful thinking. This is the kind of hope where you really dream about something that's probably not going to happen. It's more unlikely than it is likely. The odds are against you, but you still hope for it. And we go around talking like this all the time, but it's really wishful thinking. We say things like, I mean, at least I say this every Christmas time. I hope it's a white Christmas. I mean, I'm just that kind of guy. I like the snow on Christmas. It's very nostalgic. I like that time of year. Oh, I hope for a white Christmas. Well, you know, we have a soggy Christmas, all right? And they're saying that maybe some of this will turn to a little snow by the end of Christmas Day. I don't know. But statistically, it's more likely that will not happen than it will happen. And so, but yet we still say, well, I hope for a white Christmas. Or things like, I hope for world peace. Well, that's really nice, but it's really not going to happen until Jesus comes. And we can sit around all day long saying, I hope for world peace. Can't we all just get along? Well, you know, we got to figure out how to get along until, you know, Jesus comes. But only real peace is going to happen when he returns. But we wish for it. We hope for it. It's wishful thinking. I hope that an unnamed Washington football team wins the Super Bowl. I do. I hope. Don't dash my dreams, Grinch, okay? I hope it could happen. But see, when we talk about things that are wishful thinking, it's because, well, the odds aren't really in our favor, or, you know, it's unlikely, and we have no control over the outcome. That's one type of hope. It's wishful thinking. Another type of hope is what I'll call optimistic feeling. Now, an optimistic feeling is better than wishful thinking because you have a little bit of say in the outcome. And so you can hope for something that actually you might contribute to the possible positive outcome. Example. Yes, people say something like, well, I hope I can buy that new car that I'm looking at. Well, I mean, if you save money and you negotiate the price, it's likely to happen. You have actually a role in making that happen. Or if you qualify for a loan and you negotiate the right price, you can probably get the car. People say, I hope I get that raise. Well, if you're a very good employee and you show up on time and you do your work and you do extra work and, you know, you make a good impression, you probably will get that raise. So you can hope for it, but it's more likely to happen because you have somewhat of a say in the matter. I hope my wife likes my Christmas gifts this year. Every man hopes that. Well, the fact is, if you've been married for a while, the longer you've been with her, hopefully you know her likes and dislikes. And so over a longer period of time, it's more likely she will like your gifts because you know her better. Just not the first Christmas. Especially if it involves turtlenecks. Remember that story? All right. It's 34 years. I'll get over it. But that's the best that the world offers. It's either wishful thinking, things that aren't likely to happen, the odds are not in your favor, but you still hope for it. Or it's optimistic feeling. Things are more likely to happen, odds are more in your favor, but you know, that's the best the world offers. There's a third type of hope. And this is what the Bible talks about. And it's far better than what the world offers. The kind of hope that the Bible talks about is really a confident expectation in the promises and faithfulness of God. And therefore we have hope, because God is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. And so we can rest in certain things that the Bible talks about, because that's genuine hope because we're trusting in God's faithfulness and in His promises. It's not wishful thinking. It's not optimistic feeling. It's this confident expectation in the promises and faithfulness of God. This is what David knew. When in Psalm 62, verse 5, in the Psalms, David would write, "Find rest, my soul, in God alone, for my hope is in Him. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone, for my hope is in Him." Now, in the original language of the Old Testament, which is Hebrew, the word hope in that verse is tikva. And tikva translates cord or rope. And it's really a beautiful picture because David is saying, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone, for my cord or my rope, my hope, is in the Lord. It's only in you." It's the picture of like God is a lifeline. He's like the rope that we hold on to in the midst of a chaotic and crazy and weary world. David is saying, God is my cord. He is my stronghold. He is my lifeline when everything else is crazy. It was Theodore Roosevelt who said, "When you find yourself at the end of the rope, tie a knot and hang on." Well, I would also add to that, because God's got the other end of the rope and He's got a firm grip on you. And He is our hope in a very dark and weary world. So when we talk about the hope that entered our world, you know, when Jesus comes, this is a gift for mankind. This is a wonderful Christmas gift. Now, it's not the kind of gift that is wrapped in beautiful paper and tied in a bow. This is a gift that came wrapped in swaddling cloths. And this is not a gift that was laid under a tree. This is a gift that was laid in a manger. And Jesus comes to a weary world to be born in a manger, to die on a cross. And He came to lay down His life and to take up our sin. This is what Christmas is all about. And therefore, we have hope in the promises and faithfulness of God. Three primary ways. Listen to me on this. There are three primary ways the Bible talks about the hope that we have in the Lord. One, that God loves us. Two, that God forgives us. Three, that God has a hope and a future for us. This is what the Bible talks about. It's a repeated theme. First, that God loves us. This is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." Okay, not a select group of people. He loved the entire world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. "That whoever believes in Him shall not perish." In other words, shall not suffer the consequences for your own sin, because Jesus is going to die for your sins. "But shall have everlasting life." In other words, we die physically, but our spirit goes to be with the Lord, and we spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. This is God's love expressed to us. God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. "Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The love of God is expressed in Jeremiah 31:3. The Bible says, "For I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have led you with cords of kindness." In Romans 5:5, Paul writes about the very hope that we're speaking of tonight. And he says, "This hope does not disappoint us." Why? "Because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit whom He has given us." Some of you just need to hear and be reminded, not in a cliche way, in a biblical way, with the hope and promise of God that He loves you. Number two, that He forgives you. Maybe some of you are here or you're watching online and you think to yourself, "There are some things I've done that I don't think God could ever forgive me of." And I want you to know, again, based on the promises and faithfulness of God, that is not true. What is true, what God says, is this. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, in other words, if we acknowledge to God what we've done, even though He already knows it, we humble ourselves, we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From every sinful thing we've ever done, Jesus died for it all. Forgiveness is a free gift, but we need to humble ourselves, confess our sins to God, and ask Him to forgive us, and He does. David would write about this in Psalm 103. He would say this, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And then he lists some benefits of God. First one on the list, He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit, and He crowns me with love and compassion. This is the God we serve. This is why we have hope, because God loves us, God forgives us. Number three, God has a purpose for our lives. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 13, God says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and go and pray, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord." Do you know this kind of hope? Do you know the God of hope, the source of true hope? Do you have a relationship with Christ? On July the 4th, 1952, there was a lady by the name of Florence Chadwick who attempted to become the first woman to swim from Catalina Island to the coast of California, 26 miles. From Catalina Island to the coast of California, somewhere around the Huntington Beach area. And so Florence Chadwick, who had already been the first woman to swim across the English Channel, attempted this swim on July the 4th, 1952. But when she waded into the waters off Catalina Island, ready to make the swim, she encountered dense fog. Nevertheless, she continued to swim. Her mom and her trainer were in a boat next to her as she swam, and they were there to encourage her, and they were there also to look out for sharks, and they were there also to pull her into the boat if she got too weary to finish. She swam and she swam through dense fog and dense fog and dense fog, and then she got too weary to go on. Her mom and her trainer encouraged her, but nevertheless, she didn't have enough strength to carry on, and she gave up. They pulled her into the boat, and when they pulled her into the boat, she then realized she had swam 25 and a half miles. She was a half mile off the coast of California. Now, why did she lose hope? Because she couldn't see. You know, it's real easy to lose hope when you lose sight. It's very similar to the way it is with the Lord. You know, we can't see him, but he's there. She couldn't see the coast of California, so because she couldn't see, she lost hope. And sometimes we think God's not there and God doesn't care and God doesn't love me, but he does. He's there all along. And he loves you and he forgives you and he has a purpose and a plan for your life. 2 months later, Florence Chadwick said, "I'm determined to do this." Waded into the waters off of the Catalina Island and encountered the same condition, dense fog. She swam and she swam and she swam. And this time, she finished that race. She finished the swim, even though the same foggy conditions were there. And when she was asked, "How were you able to finish this time and you couldn't last time?" She said, "Because this time on the swim, I kept in my mind the coast that I couldn't see." Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "For our light and momentary trials are achieving for us a glory that an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Therefore, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For that which is seen is temporal, but that which is unseen is eternal." The way we finish well, the way that we have hope in our lives, is when we realize we have to fix our eyes on God, whom we cannot see, but who is there, loving us, forgiving us, having a purpose for our lives. But we have to surrender to him. We have to humble ourselves and yield to him. And tonight, I invite you to accept Christ as your Savior if you don't know him. Or maybe you need to recommit your life to him. Maybe you've wandered away from him, even though he's never left you. The Bible says in Acts 3:19, "Repent and turn to God that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that salvation is a gift. It is by grace are we saved through faith, not of works, not anything we do, so that nobody can boast. Do you know the kind of hope we're talking about tonight? Do you need this kind of hope? Do you know the source of hope? Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to give you an invitation and an opportunity to receive Christ. I'm going to pray a prayer. And as I'm praying that prayer, I want to invite you, if you want to choose Christ as your Savior tonight, to make a bold and courageous decision by getting up out of your seat and coming and standing down front here. And for everybody who's gathered here, I will lead in a collective word of prayer for you to surrender your life to Christ, for you to invite him into your life, because he loves you, he forgives you, and he has a plan for your life. You say, Pastor Gary, why do I have to walk forward? It's a little awkward. There's a lot of people here. Here's the deal. Making a decision for Christ is not one and done. It's the beginning of a journey. You're within the four walls of a sanctuary that is comfortable, and you're loved by friends and family. And by the way, we will applaud your decision when you walk forward here. You're among friends who love you and will rejoice with you. But if you can't publicly make a decision for him where it's comfortable, how will you ever live for him outside where it may not always be? But can I remind all of us that Jesus did a very uncomfortable thing for us? When he died on a cross, he suffered shame and humiliation, scourging and beating, was nailed to a cross because of his love for you and me. He had no problem being very public about his love for you and me. Don't have a problem in being public about making a decision for him. This is an opportunity for you to get right with him tonight, for you to surrender your life to Jesus. So I'm going to pray, and as I pray, if you want to be a part of those down here who invite Christ into your life, get up out of the seat. Don't care what other people think. Only care what God thinks. Receive the greatest gift ever given to mankind. Make a decision and come and stand down here, and I'm going to pray for everybody. I'm going to make it easy for people who want to slip out from your seats by asking everybody please to stand, if you don't mind, please. Nobody leaving right now, just stand respectfully. And if you want to trust Christ as your Savior, make a decision right now. Get out of your seat, come and stand down here. Be bold about it. Don't be ashamed. And let me pray, and then we're going to sing a song. You have an opportunity to walk now or to walk when we're singing this song. Lord, we come before you right now, thankful for your love for us. That you would love us so much that you would come to earth to save us from our sins, to give us hope, to give us a future, Lord. Thank you that you love us in ways that we can't even comprehend, the breadth and the width and the height and the depth of your love. I thank you right now for those that you will lead into a relationship with you. I pray for every man, woman, and young person here that you would lead those forward such as should be saved. Glorify yourself right now, Lord, as you would tug on the hearts of people to boldly and courageously receive the free gift of salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, glorify yourself right here, right now. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's sing. You all come. God bless you all. Come on down front.
I know it well. A melody that's never failed. On mountains high, in valleys low, my soul will rest with confidence in you alone. Hope has a name, his name is Jesus, my Savior's cross has set the sinner free. Hope has a name, his name is Jesus. Oh Christ be praised, I have victory. Hope has a name, his name is Jesus, my Savior's cross set the sinner free. Hope has a name, his name is Jesus. Oh Christ be praised, I have victories.
Amen. We still want to invite you to come. Listen, if you feel at all like this stirring in your heart, don't leave here regretting a decision. You know, surrender. The only thing between you and a relationship with the Lord is pride. That's just the truth. That if we get to the place where we humble ourselves and come to Jesus and say, Lord, I need you. Don't be embarrassed about that. He loves you so much, he died for you. And so we want you to come. We're going to sing this chorus a second time. It's another opportunity. And maybe you need to look at someone that you're with and just kind of ask, you know, do you want to go forward and go with them? Because this is the day that the Lord has made. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed another minute. And so come now. Receive Christ as your Savior. God bless you as you come. Now listen, I also want to say to our online viewers, you can also make a decision with these folks today. There's a number on your screen right now, 703-844-9969. I want you to text in to that number. I have decided, and you can join these folks in the prayer I'm about to lead them in. But we're going to still sing the second stanza, so you come right now if you want to make a decision for Christ. We'll wait for you, ma'am. God bless you.
My hope complete, now home in glory, your face I see. My pain no more, my fear will cease. I bow my life, I fix my eyes on Christ, my King. I bow my life, fix my eyes on Christ my King. Hope has a name, His name is Jesus, my Savior's cross has set the sinner free. Hope has a name, His name is Jesus, oh Christ. I have victory. Hope has a name, His name is Jesus. My Savior's cross has set the sinner free. Hope has a name, His name is Jesus. Oh Christ be praised, I have victory. Oh Christ be praised, I have victory.
Amen. God bless you. Anybody else? We'll wait for you, ma'am. Come on, we'll wait for you. Is there anyone else? I'm about to pray with these folks. There's always a fine line that I walk because I don't want anybody to feel manipulated or coerced. This has to be something that you choose to do. These folks have chosen to come forward. Is there anyone else who chooses to come forward? I don't want to leave you out. So we'll wait just another few seconds. All of you have walked forward here about to make the most important decision you could ever make in your life, by receiving the free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we have done to earn it or deserve it, but God loves you, God forgives you, and God has a purpose and a plan for your life. It's a matter of surrender to Him. So I'm gonna lead you in a word of prayer right now, and I'm gonna go slowly enough that I want you to pray this out loud with me. Just follow after me, repeat it after me, and just pray this, but pray it out loud. Don't be ashamed of this. We're gonna pray this together. Let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me so much that you came to earth to die for sinners. Forgive me of my sins. Wash over my life. Come into my heart. I surrender to your Lordship. I yield my life to you. And I accept by faith your love, your forgiveness, and your purpose and plan for my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody here said, amen and amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, hang tight. Just hang tight for a second, because we got pastors who are circulating to give you a Bible just so you can remember tonight's decision. As soon as you get your Bible, you're free to go back to your seats. And those of you who are watching online, again, just text in. If you prayed that prayer with me, text in, I have decided, to the number on your screen, and we'll send you a Bible if you let us know that you made that decision. You know, I always think about how the Bible says that there are angels in heaven rejoicing over one sinner who repents, and I think to myself, what's the sound in heaven right now? Amen? Amen. Praise God.